Next, I'm going to John White. No John White.
Well, that's me, but okay. I've set my pace. Well and truly.
Okay, Ralph Moore and Associates.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning and welcome. Thanks for the submission that you lodged. Just a comment I wrote on your submission when I was getting ready for the hearing was that the starter recommended the adoption of all of your submission points.
I'm not sure, Mr. Chairman, if that includes my comments on the Section 42A report or not, because certainly all my original submissions were pretty much taken into consideration, but I'm here today to comment on some additional stuff that came out of the Section 42A report.
And were those points addressed in your submission?
Not in my original submission, no, because what happened is the three territorial authorities made submissions on Rule 26, and as a result, the Section 42A report is recommending some additional rules, and so it's that additional rule that I'm really concerned about.
All right, well, tell us about your concerns, and then later on when we deliberate, we'll have to figure out if we've got scope to address them. But you're here now, so tell us what your issues are.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, well, I'm Don Moore is my name, and I'm a wastewater consultant, or surveying wastewater consultant. And I've been practising in Southam since 1978. And so, my submission today is a fairly narrow one and rather focused. We're dealing with Rule 26, which is the septic tank systems, domestic wastewater systems. It might seem a relatively minor part of the plan, but keep in mind that the rules contained in there do impact on every single homeowner in South, and certainly those building new homes. The total environmental impact is probably not great, but the impact on the individual persons and building their homes is certainly considerable.
Yeah.
And I have to work with these rules. I've worked with them for 37 odd years. So I think I've got a pretty good handle on which of those rules gives me grief or gives my clients grief. So the rule that what's happened in the Section 42A report is that the territorial authorities have asked for a rule 26B, which says two things: that the soil beneath it. A wastewater system. By and large, we run wastewater through a septic tank, and then we apply it to the soil in a variety of mechanisms. And it's that application to the soil. At some point, there's an infiltration surface, a point at the bottom of the ditch, the bottom of the trench, whatever. So what the territorial authorities have asked is that they want two things. The soil beneath the infiltration surface is maintained as free draining to a depth of 600 millimetres, and the bottom of the soil infiltration surface is no less than 900 millimetres above the mean seasonal high groundwater table or any perched water table. So I've in my evidence that I presented, which I'm assuming was tabled today, I'm essentially saying that there's some conflict in those two things. And now I just really want to explain why those two rules are kind of important to me or to my clients. First thing you need to understand is why do the TAs want to see that rule? It's theoretically all about pathogen attenuation. The theory behind it is that probably after 900 millimetres of unsaturated infiltration, you probably have renovated wastewater. Well, look, please let me correct you. That's totally wrong. Couldn't be further from the truth. We hardly even begin to achieve pathogen attenuation in 900 millimetres. I don't want to bore you with statistics, but just very quickly, if we are in a sensitive zone where pathogen attenuation is important, just for argument's sake, if we are in very free draining soils and we happen to be within, say, 500 metres of a water bore, which is being used for potable water. We need to achieve a pathogen attenuation of this. I won't go into what I mean, I'm just going to say we need to get to 16. So we need a log 10 reduction of 16. To put it into perspective, we get a log reduction of 1 out of a septic tank, and that's being generous. And most of our soils achieve a log reduction of about 2 per metre of infiltration. So on average, just looking at it generally, we're going to get a log reduction of about 3 if we've got 900 millimetres of unsaturated percolation. We need to get to 16, so we know we're near. So what I'm saying is, do not believe that rule has got anything to do with pathogen attenuation. It hasn't. However, there is a practical side to the rule, and that is that the actual performance of the wastewater trench system will certainly be impacted, just from a practical point of view, if the ground underneath it gets saturated. Basically, if the ground underneath is saturated, the wastewater is not going to soak away, it's going to stay on the surface. So there is certainly a practical reason, a practical justification for that rule. Now, having said that, keep in mind that in my written notes for today, I had pointed out that the rule does conflict with NZS AS 1547, the New Zealand standard, New Zealand Australia standard that governs the design of systems. And I think that standard can deal with that issue more effectively than by having a rule. And there's a couple of reasons why this is important to me. Because what's happening with a rule like that, and we've got a similar rule already, we've already got under the RELAP rule now, we've got a 900 mil rule, and really we're just repeating the same rule. The reason why that's not a good thing is that there are a variety of solutions for shallow groundwaters or perch water tables. Generally speaking, around Southland, groundwater is quite deep. It's pretty rare to see true groundwater at anything less than about 3, 4, 5 metres. There's not many places where it's shallower than that. So we're actually talking perch water tables, a shallow layer of water that's sitting usually around Southland about 800 to about 1100 millimetres down, sits there during the winter, because the soil immediately below that layer is very poorly drained, disappears again in the summer. So we're not talking true groundwater, we're talking perch water tables. We encounter that about 50% of the time as a very broad generalisation. And how I deal with that at the moment is generally in two ways. I'll either try and get subsoil drainage in there so that I get rid of that perch water table. And that's a good solution. There's no issue. You know, that's my preferred solution. The alternative, where that can't happen, if we're on flat land and we haven't got any way of dropping groundwater by subsoil drains because we've got nowhere to lead them to, then we've got no choice. We build mounds out of the ground, and quite frankly, that's a disastrous solution. But that's quite often the solution we're left with. There are two other solutions I would like to use, which are better solutions, but this 900 millimetre rule discourages me from using them. And probably the preferred option is to use drip irrigation, which applies wastewater at very, very conservative rates. And in fact, we probably, after drip irrigation, at the very, very conservative rates that drip irrigation applies wastewater to the soil, we probably actually do get, in fact, pathogen attenuation in relatively short distances. Either way, in most cases, I can't use drip irrigation because the infiltration surface is going to be within 900 millimetres of the perched groundwater. And so I'm discouraged, and of course my clients are discouraged from using it, because it would entail a resource consent to Environment South, and the resource consent would probably be granted. I think I could put together an argument that would convince your technical officers that it was a good solution for the site. No, but I can assure you that none of my clients wants to go through a resource consent process to use what I think would be a better solution. The other reason the rule is not good is because the other way of addressing or achieving a higher level of pathogen attenuation is to replace the in situ soil with something better. Again, just some figures. Most of our soils, as I said before, achieve pathogen attenuation at a figure of about two log reductions per metre. A really good filter sand will do that at double, it's somewhere between 4 and 5, so more than double. Now I would often like to add layers of sand to our trench systems, and there's a variety of techniques that we can do that. Well, what I've done, if I add a layer of sand to the system, I've dropped the infiltration surface, I've got it closer to the perch water table, and often, for instance, if the perch water table is sitting 1200 down, I might like to add some sand there to increase the treatment of the system. I've now compromised the 900 millimetre rule, so I'm not going to do that. So it may seem a little bit, this might seem a petty argument, but believe me, that rule is actually discouraging me from adopting what could be improved outcomes. And I really just don't see a need for the rule. The standard specification addresses the issue. It allows me to do these other things, justify why I've done them, without running foul of a rule that forces me or my client then to go for resource consent. So sorry to bore you with the detail, Mr. Chairman.
That's all right.
Ladies.
Should we see if we have questions on that? Lloyd.
Thank you for that. It's helpful. Just going back to your submission, it's a little bit, to me, in A of 26, it talks about 1,250 litres per day, and B, it talks about 14,000 litres per week.
Okay, sorry.
And I was wondering whether, and this is just me looking at the plan, whether there should be a standardisation. Are we talking about days, are we talking about weeks, are we talking about average of months? Should that be standardised? And the second part of the question is, I couldn't find why there was a difference in the daily take, because one was 1,250 and the other's 2,000 on a daily basis. And I couldn't get from one to the other looking back through the 42A, etc. Are you able to help me with that?
The daily thing, the 1,250, keep in mind Environment Southland came out with the current, with RELAP, pretty early in the piece, or stand to be corrected, but you were one of the earlier councils in the country to get a plan out. And 1250 seemed like a pretty reasonable daily limit at that time. Most other regional councils who followed suit not that long after adopted a figure of 2,000. So that's why we've jumped from 1250 to 2,000. Simply to bring us in line with what other councils have done and what seems to be pretty average.
So the next part of that is some submitters have actually said to us, instead of going for a daily take, it should be an average per day over a month.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a brief comment.
Monthly might be, I didn't address that issue today, obviously, but I certainly submitted on it. I've said in my submission that I'd like the wording change. The discharge does not exceed 14,000 litres per week on a monthly average. You certainly need to get into an averaging type situation, that's for sure. Whether it's weekly or monthly, I wouldn't debate that. It just needs to be average. The typical situation is, we design a wastewater system to handle an average of so many people in a dwelling. It might be five people per dwelling is a pretty common sort of a figure. Well, at Christmas time the relatives arrive and suddenly that figure jumps to 15. Most wastewater systems don't have difficulty accommodating that. You have to understand with rules that, and no offence to the bureaucrats that administer them, but believe me, these rules get scrutinised right down to the, and I am commonly asked to address that issue about where I've gone over a peak, and most wastewater systems can handle peaks pretty well.
In the short term.
Yeah,
for
3 or 4 days, 4 or 5 days. Yeah.
No, very clear, thank you.
And Morris, any
questions?
No, I don't think so. I think the solution that Chairman has offered to make sure this is within scope so that we can respond to what you've said today, and that seems to be pretty important to me, so we'll certainly give it very close consideration.
And no further questions from me, and thanks very much for coming in and taking the time to make your concerns clear to us.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Gentlemen, ladies.